Welcome to episode 30 of the Walk and Talk podcast. My name is Greg Johnson, and today is Sunday, June 21st, 2020. This episode is going to be focused on dental care, a few subtopics within that overarching category, and let's get started. So, one question that comes up when you're focusing on dental care is, do you want to brush first and then floss, or do you want to floss first and then brush? That's a good question. The advocates for brushing first would say that you want to, you know, get your teeth clean before you start trying to clean between them and make sure there's no surface gunk there. The advocates for flossing first would say, well, you know, you want to clean the gunk between your teeth, any debris there, and then brush it away when you brush your teeth. So I would recommend that people brush first, then floss, and then finish brushing. And here's why. When you're flossing your teeth, you know, many people use a very thin waxed floss. That thin waxed floss is easy to floss with. It's easy to get between your teeth. It's easy to move around. But think about it. A small waxy, string is not going to do as significant of cleaning as one would if it was without the wax and maybe a little bit larger. You'd have more surface area of that string cleaning your teeth. Well, there is such a thing, and it's called Butler Weave Floss. And you can tell when you use it. It has a really good texture. You can get the non-waxed version of this. One brand is gum, like chewing gum, G-U-M. There are others out there, but I really like the gum one. And what's great about this is you get just really good surface cleaning of your teeth, and you want to kind of pull that floss with both fingers so that there's some tension pulling from one side and then to the other side to get both sides of the teeth. And the advantage of brushing first is that that toothpaste gets in your mouth, it gets a little bit of it between the teeth, so you're basically using the toothpaste that's in your mouth with that Butler Weave floss to have an even better cleaning impact. Because floss alone, waxed or unwaxed, still doesn't quite have the grittiness of toothpaste that helps get rid of plaque and other debris. But of course, once you've brushed and then flossed, you want to brush again just to get rid of all of the debris. And depending on how frequently you brush and your gum health, you may have some bleeding. But if you're careful over time when you brush and floss, if you're careful, your gums will get healthier and healthier, and you just want to make sure you're not pulling the floss back and forth in a way that saws into your gums, you know. You're really wanting to have, instead of the in and out type of motion with that floss, you want it to be going up and down the side of your tooth. And if you use a large enough length of floss, then you can slowly adjust that floss. Keep moving the excess floss from one hand to the next, so you're going down the length of that floss and continually using a new, you know, fresh 1-inch segment of the floss as you go, so you don't have any plaque or buildup on the floss, but you're continuing to use the fresh floss. And so that approach, I think, really works best. And it helps to make sure that your teeth are as clean as possible. It's good to brush at night because when you do so, you're giving your mouth 8 hours of minty freshness. But yeah, you're giving your mouth 8 hours or more without the sugar and other bacteria that might be causing challenges for your gums and for your teeth. And then perhaps first thing in the morning or after breakfast, you can help continue that good dental health. Some people will brush after every meal. It just depends on preference. Okay, so the next point to mention regarding dental health is with regard to tooth protection at night. They call it a night guard or a grinding guard, tooth guard. It looks like the kind of thing that wrestlers wear that you put in your mouth, and it keeps the teeth from grinding together. Everybody probably has some bit of bruxism, is what it's called, nighttime grinding of the teeth. It can be a result of stress or just other things, I guess. But if there's too much of it, then what happens is that pressure of the teeth grinding against each other can wear down the enamel. And that's not a good thing. So if you get one of these tooth guard devices from your dentist, theoretically they will have it fit to exactly your bite and your teeth. But sometimes our bite changes over time, and these can be sort of expensive. So if you have to keep getting it replaced, and if you're grinding a lot, you could be slowly wearing it down anyway. So that can be a costly proposition. Well, if you go to your local drugstore like CVS or Walgreens, you'll find that there are these night guard products which, when put in boiling water, become soft. And so there's this prepping process, but basically you buy one of these. They cost about $30, so they're pretty expensive, but not as much as what you'd pay at the dentist. You buy this, you get some boiling water, you set it in a teacup of boiling water. I think I'm remembering correctly that it's like 10 seconds or 20 seconds or something. It's on the instruction sheet. And then you'll put it under cold water just a little bit to take away the extreme temperature of that, and put it in your mouth and bite down. And when you bite down, then you get a perfect model of your teeth. And depending on which brand or product you get, sometimes these can be a harder plastic and others have a little bit of give to them. That's the one I like. It has just a little bit of give. It's like a dense rubber, but it's a kind of plastic that is non-leaching. You know, you're not going to taste plastic chemicals, so it's like a food safe type of thing. And anyway, yeah, if you get that just right, it'll fit your teeth perfectly. The biting down is done with the top teeth into this device, and then on the bottom of it, it has a harder plastic. So the fit is going to be with the top teeth, and that's fine. And you'll find that the top part is has a little more give to it, and the bottom part is not annoyingly hard, but it's pretty hard. When you're fitting this, if you bite down too hard, it's going to kind of spread and flatten out, and you'll lose that benefit of it being really snug with your teeth fitting into it. So you don't want to bite down too hard when you're fitting it. when that material is soft from the boiling water. And if you don't bite down hard enough, what you're going to get is it won't quite be fitted properly. There'll just be a little bit of indents in it from your teeth, but not enough to really have it feel fitted. And so it'll move around a little bit at night. Now, fortunately, you can get a little practice with this. You know, if you've tried fitting it and you bit down either too hard or not hard enough, or it wasn't lined up right, you can put it in boiling water again and go through the process once more. I think eventually it's not quite as forgiving. You know, if you try to do that 3, 4, 5 times, it's going to lose some of its fresh ability to properly mold around the teeth. And so that, I would say, is a very good beneficial practice to get into, is using one of these night guards. You may or may not know if you have bruxism or night grinding. If you want to find out, you could use your smartphone. If you have an iPhone, there is a voice memo recorder. And if you have an Android phone, you can go out and find an audio recorder. But the idea is that you would record yourself sleeping at night. That's also an opportunity to listen for unusual snoring or halted breathing that might indicate a problem that may require more investigation. But the grinding of the teeth you can hear sometimes pretty loudly. And of course, you may not want to just sort of listen to 8 hours of you sleeping, but if you skip through, or if you're using software like Audacity, you can see the waveforms there and find times in that recording where there is noise. And the halted breathing or snoring that stops abruptly and then resumes with a deep gasp, those kinds of sounds would be indicative of sleep apnea, a condition where people just, for whatever reason, their windpipe is narrowed, which causes the snoring, and then at some moments the skin is not allowing there to be quality airflow. So that's something to ask your doctor about if you're noticing that. If you live with someone who can monitor your sleep sometime, even just, you know, a few hours, let's say you've fallen asleep and they're still awake in bed, that person can give you some insights into your breathing at night and any possible teeth grinding. But for people that live alone, there won't be someone there to provide feedback about these issues. So that's another reason for those who are single, living alone, you'll want to consider doing this nighttime recording. There are some apps that will listen for sound, and when there's sound, then they'll record. But if it's quiet, they'll ignore it. So you can condense like an 8-hour sleep recording down to, you know, maybe a half an hour or something, depending on how much snoring there is. But that's something to look into if you become more interested in this. And the reason I mention that is because sleep disorders can have a big impact on your health. And sleep studies that are done, this is not the sleep study you would get by going to a sleep clinic. I'm talking about, you know, research studies that have been done with people sleeping. What's been discovered in doing that is that during these sleep studies, they'll have the people who are the test subjects will be sleeping, and they'll be waking them up every hour, or, you know, before they get a chance to go into a deep sleep. But they don't wake them all the way up. They just kind of nudge them until they you know, make some sort of moaning sound or something. So not totally woken up, just brought up from what might have been a deeper sleep. And in the morning, these folks are asked, how did you sleep? Did you sleep through the night? They would say, yeah, I slept through the night. I didn't wake up, but I feel exhausted. So what that study tells you is that you may not know whether or not you are waking up at night if it's just a slight noise or something that's, you know, bringing you out of your deep sleep into a lighter sleep. You may not have an awareness of that. And certainly the more it happens, the less acute your brain is. So the way all this relates to bruxism, night grinding of the teeth, is that you may find, if you identify this problem for yourself and you get one of these night guards, that you'll sleep better. You'll feel more rested because that night grinding can cause, you know, pain, or it can make noises that would wake you up. And that's then another benefit of this, that while it's considered to be a dental health issue, it can impact your health more broadly. So those are three key elements: the flossing, the brushing, the Butler weave and toothpaste while flossing, and then this idea of having a dental guard that will help you protect yourself from any sort of night grinding. And then, of course, another category of impact would be what you eat. If you're eating salads with vinaigrette dressing and you're having some herbal teas that aren't going to stain your teeth too much, and having generally, you know, foods that are cleansing, that you might even, you know, vinegar you use to clean surfaces. So if you're having these kinds of astringent products with the characteristic of being able to clean things, and you're avoiding like sugar and any foods that might be harming your teeth or gums, then you're basically throughout the entire day consuming products that can benefit your teeth and gums. And you'll have less trouble then battling the plaque buildup and bacterial problems that come when you're not having those things. There is a type of gum, a chewing gum, that's referred to as dental gum. And I believe the sweetening ingredient is called xylitol, X-I-L-I-T-O-L, perhaps. Hopefully I'm spelling that correctly. And you might find that using dental gum can help exercise your jaw. It can help create saliva flowing that will cleanse your mouth. And that is something to consider throughout the day. For people that struggle with chronic bad breath, that could have to do with your food choices and perhaps a lack of flossing, because the surface of the teeth, while it's important to brush and keep the surface clean, that's not where the problem areas are. The problem is when there are food particles stuck between the teeth, and after 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, those food particles might be decaying, and it's that decaying bacteria-infested debris that causes the smell. And that's not pleasant, you know, for people to be smelling, but it's also hard on your body because you're having to fight off that bacteria. And then you may also, if you're not flossing regularly, you might have gum disease. And if you have gum disease, that means that there is some inflammation in raw areas, which is why you might see some bleeding when you brush or floss. And those then would be areas that bacteria could be further introduced into your gums or even into your body through those cuts and abrasions. So you really want to keep your mouth as clean as possible. Another problem that comes up, though, is if people are not hydrated well. Either perhaps there's a medication they're taking that's a diuretic or causing them to be very dry, or maybe they just don't like drinking water very much. That dryness then can lead to the mouth having trouble keeping everything as clean as possible. And you can look at different ways to encourage more consumption of water. One would be some of these flavored carbonated waters that don't have any sugar. It's just a light essence of some fruit. The other option would be some people enjoy having chilled water or iced water that you can sip on. That might be more enjoyable. And part of the reason for that is that cold water tends to taste more fresh than just room temperature water that's been sitting around. So if there are any unpleasant flavors, those can be masked by the coldness of the water. And the other way to encourage more water drinking is to get good quality water. The most economical way to do that would be to have a home pitcher that you pour tap water into, and then it drips down into the chamber below where the water is filtered. Some of the harmful ingredients can be filtered out, as well as the unpleasant flavors that might be there with city water that has a lot of chlorine, or well water that might have some hard metal kind of flavor to it. I suppose there aren't hard metals in water. That would be a problem. But there's, you know, there are odd sediments that can come up through well water, or just unpleasant smells and flavors. So certainly you want to have your water checked regularly if you're not on a municipal water supply. And maybe even in some cities there's concern about the municipal water. But in any event, you want to drink a lot of water. You want to make sure it's pure, because you're going to be guzzling that stuff down. And it can then help your gums stay fully hydrated and cleansed, and let your saliva glands function properly and keep your mouth as clean as possible. Exercise is something else that can peripherally impact your dental health. And the reason for that is that if you're getting some good exercise and getting your heart rate up for, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes a day, that circulation then helps to cleanse your entire body. It helps get blood flow going to your face and to your gums, and can help flush out toxins. And so combined with good dental hygiene, having that exercise routine can help, not just, of course, with your gums, but with your entire overall health. Some people exercise because they think they're going to burn some extra calories, and that's certainly true. You can go for a walk and maybe burn 100 calories for every 10 minutes you're out there, depending on how intense your walking is. And you can look that up and see what your specific calorie burn would be based on the exercise and speed that you're walking or running. But whatever it is, the calories burned while exercising are never as impressive or sizable as the calories avoided when you skip certain foods. So in other words, there can be, well, usually it's breakfast, treats and sweets or dessert items that are really high in calories. I guess at any meal that can happen. But if you can skip having the 3 Big Macs at McDonald's or whatever that food is that's easy to eat and super high in calories, then that's going to be much more impactful than, you know, trying to burn off that 1,000-calorie Big Mac. What is that? You'd have to be out for, like, you'd probably have to run a marathon practically or something to burn off, like, the thousands of calories that you can mistakenly consume if you're eating at a high-calorie food restaurant. So the reason I mention that is just to say that if you're focusing on calorie burning, you're probably thinking about exercise from the wrong perspective. And that really, the benefit of exercising, the greatest benefit, is in getting our bodies to function in a good, healthy way and stimulating all of our organs, getting the circulation going. It's all of those other benefits that are really the key gains from exercising. And I also mention that because sometimes people overdo it on exercise. They think, well, if a little is good, more is better. And then too much exercise from day to day without allowing proper recovery time can weaken your body and result in injuries over time, micro injuries that build up into things that are very difficult to heal because you didn't allow that healing process to happen. Okay, well, that's kind of a broader look at dental hygiene, encompassing not just the brushing and flossing, but everything else that can go into producing good dental health. Well, I appreciate you taking time to listen. I hope that some of these thoughts and topics have been stimulating to your mind and to your gums, and I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.